Your partner just walked past you for the third time tonight, eyes glued to their phone. You're mid-sentence, sharing something that matters, and suddenly you're talking to empty air. That hollow feeling in your chest? It's not just disappointment. It's a fundamental human need going unmet. We've entered an era where connection has never been more accessible, yet genuine listening has become startlingly rare. Screens glow brighter than faces, notifications ping louder than voices. We've mastered the art of being constantly available while remaining perpetually absent. And in this fractured attention economy, we're starving for something ancient and essential to be truly heard. The cost of this listening famine shows up everywhere, in marriages that feel like parallel monologues, in families where everyone talks but no one connects, in friendships that fade because nobody really knows what's happening beneath the surface. Think about the last time someone gave you their complete attention. Not the nodding while scrolling kind, but the leaning in, eyes locked, world fading away kind. Remember how that felt? That's not coincidence. It's biology meeting psychology. Being heard validates our very existence. When someone steps fully into our frame of reference, they're saying, "You matter. Your experience is real. You're not alone in this." Without validation, we remain trapped in what psychologist Heinz Kohut called the solitude of our own hearts, isolated even in crowded rooms. Consider Marnie, whose work proposal was sidelined during a presentation. Rushing home to share her frustration with an unavailable husband, she began questioning whether needing to talk made her weak. Many confuse the need for connection with insecurity, when actually requiring responsive attention is fundamentally human, like needing food or sleep. Roxanne discovered this through years of college isolation. When her therapist, Noreen, simply listened, Roxanne felt genuinely heard for the first time. Later, when her mother set aside defensiveness and truly listened, their relationship transformed from competing monologues into actual dialogue. Being heard satisfies our need for both self-expression and connection. Without it, we're haunted by anxiety and loneliness, driving us toward poor substitutes, endless scrolling, comfort eating, binge watching. Here's what most people miss. You're not born with a fixed self. Your identity forms through thousands of conversations, each one either validating or dismissing parts of who you are. When someone truly listens, they're actively shaping your sense of self. Recognition makes our experiences meaningful and allows us to realize our own agency. Our lives are literally co-authored in conversation. Listening determines which parts of ourselves we integrate versus which we hide. Harry Stack Sullivan called rejected parts the not me, aspects poisoned with anxiety because they weren't acceptable to our earliest listeners. A child whose anger is consistently dismissed doesn't stop feeling angry. They just learn to suppress it, creating a disconnection from authentic emotion that can last a lifetime. Daniel Stern's research revealed that even infants need responsive listening to thrive. He identified four stages of self-development: the emergent self, where babies communicate through crying; the core self, where they experience physical separateness; the subjective self, where they discover sharing experiences; and the verbal self, where language enables sophisticated self-expression. For adults, being listened to allows us to articulate and integrate deeper layers of ourselves. Attention from a listener creates space where we open up and experience a fuller version of who we are. Not being understood ranks among the most painful human experiences, while being with an interested, responsive listener makes us come alive. When someone listens with genuine empathy, we don't just feel better, we actually become more authentic, more integrated, more ourselves. Ellen comes home exhausted from managing three kids, desperate to talk. Greg walks in equally drained, wanting only silence. She feels neglected, he feels attacked. Neither can hear the other. This scene plays out everywhere because we blame others for being selfish listeners while justifying our own failures. A lawyer called his wife boring until a therapist challenged him to act as if she were interested in his work. Suddenly, he discovered, she's not boring anymore. We become more interesting when we assume our listeners care. Between every speaker and listener lie two filters distorting meaning. Good communication happens when intent equals impact, but messages must pass through both the speaker's clarity and the listener's ability to hear. Transference occurs when speakers impose expectations from past relationships onto current listeners. Chris grew up with a competitive sister who made him feel stupid, so now he feels attacked when his girlfriend asks innocent questions. In close relationships, vulnerability makes us hear innocent comments as rejection. Have you taken the garbage out yet? Triggers, can't you leave me alone for 1 second? The gap between what's said and heard becomes a canyon. Real listening demands more than attention. It requires suspending your own stories, controlling interruptions, and resisting the urge to fix things. When we truly listen, we temporarily set aside our agenda, creating space for understanding. This selflessness is difficult to sustain, so we fool ourselves into thinking we're listening when we aren't. We interrupt to share similar experiences or offer unwanted advice to ease our own discomfort. Some become fakers, maintaining eye contact while mentally elsewhere. Others become self-conscious listeners, more concerned with appearing attentive than being attentive. Even active listening techniques backfire when we focus on demonstrating listening rather than actually listening. The solution is simple yet difficult. Concentrate on hearing the other person fully before taking your turn. This requires recognizing that hidden emotional agendas, our subpersonalities, residues of early relationships, crowd out understanding. We relate to people based on expectations formed in our past, carrying mental images that shape current interactions and affect whether we truly hear them.
Our relationships operate in circular patterns. We choose circumstances that maintain internal expectations and interpret events through these lenses. Alice perpetually played caretaker, repeating the good daughter role from childhood. Terry valued independence his whole life, only to find himself isolated when he finally desired companionship. Peggy loved her parents, yet visits inevitably triggered conflict. Her mother's criticism provoked anxiety and rage, making Peggy hypersensitive to any negative comment. Ironically, Peggy adopted similar patterns, becoming benignly controlling in her own relationships. Emotional reactivity is the primary reason people don't listen effectively. When something triggers hurt or anger, it provokes defensiveness that short-circuits understanding. Criticism is particularly difficult to hear without reaction. Corinne was devastated by a minor newsletter error. Lenny flew into rage when his wife mildly questioned him, demonstrating how past wounds create present overreactions. We're only as accepting of others as we are of ourselves. Tony and Joan's marriage drifted after having children. When challenged to try harder, Tony showed genuine interest in Joan's specific feelings, rekindling their connection. Understanding is give and take. The best way to be heard is making the other person feel listened to first. Better listening starts with sincere effort to understand another's private world. Turning off distractions, looking directly at them, and concentrating solely on their communication. Effective communication requires restating the other's position in your own words, then inviting correction until they feel completely understood. When people repeatedly state positions without acknowledging what the other says, they engage in dueling points of view, which only locks misunderstanding in place. True listening requires relinquishing control. Many believe they're good listeners because they say the right things, but speakers still feel unheard because the listener is merely going through motions. Psychologist Wilfred Bion advised setting aside memory, desire, and judgment, suspending preconceptions to achieve true openness. Real empathy involves actively considering the other person's unique perspective, not just projecting how we would feel. We long to be listened to because we never outgrow the need to communicate our private worlds. But there is no parallel need to listen. That's the paradox. This explains why people pay therapists thousands of dollars simply to be listened to. therapists don't feel blamed and therefore don't get defensive. When close relationships involve complaints, the other person often feels implicated and responds with, "No, don't feel that way," instead of, "Yes, tell me more." Receptive listeners allow us to express feelings fully and welcome even unpopular parts of ourselves. They recognize that while what we're saying may not be factually true, our feelings themselves are facts to the person experiencing them. To listen without flying off the handle requires tolerating anxiety and resisting the fight or flight urge. Rather than trying to not get defensive, focus on listening harder. It's easier to start doing something new than to stop something habitual. When someone criticizes you, allow them to fully express their point of view before responding. Avoid cross-complaining, which only escalates conflict. Good listening doesn't come naturally. It's a skill requiring development, yet also flows from genuine caring. Our own reactivity blocks effective listening, and the listening we don't receive becomes the listening we don't give to others. Start today. Put down your phone when someone speaks. Ask a question and wait for the full answer. Let someone finish their story without jumping in with yours. These small acts accumulate into something profound, relationships where people feel seen, valued, and genuinely connected. The listening crisis isn't about communication techniques, it's about whether we're willing to give others the gift we most desperately want for ourselves.